Hi, everybody. This is Todd Smith with Little Things Matter. The title of this report is 49 Ways to Improve Your Email Brand. Have you ever considered that every email you send makes an impression on someone? Each impression plays a small but important role in defining your personal brand. Just as every product has a brand, so do each of us. We're all branding ourselves every day in every way, by how we sound on the phone, by our appearance, by our level of physical fitness, by how we acknowledge people, and through our email communications. If the people you have corresponded with over the last 30 days were surveyed and asked to describe your personal email brand, what would the results show? Now, take a minute and think about your goals and consider the person you need to become to achieve your goals. Would these survey results be consistent with this image? My mentor Jim Rohn said, "For your life to get better, you've got to get better." Improving your email brand is part of getting better. Don't ever allow yourself to think that something as routine as your email messages don't matter. Everything matters. As you listen to the 49 email tips contained in this podcast, consider the refinements that you can make to your email brand. Number one, be friendly. Your demeanor in your online communication should be similar to how you interact offline. If you value relationships, take an extra 15 seconds to type something friendly at the beginning and or the end of your email. It could be a simple one-liner as, "I hope you had a relaxing weekend," or "Thanks for all you do." Number two, take pride in your emails. Every email you send makes an impression and plays a small role in defining your brand. If email is your primary form of communication, what you say and how you say it will play a significant role in how you are viewed. Number three, assume a formal tone. Always assume the highest level of business formality until the relationship dictates otherwise. Formality communicates respect. Number four, be professional. If you want to be viewed as a professional, then make sure you present yourself as one. Number five, select the right email provider. I strongly suggest that you get an email address from a national company and not one from your local utility company or cable service provider. If you have an email address tied to your local ISP or utility company, you could lose your email address when you move or change utility providers. Select long-standing, recognized companies with names that are easy to spell, like Gmail or Yahoo, that don't have advertisements. Number six, make sure your name is properly displayed. Most email programs have name recognition software intended to be a time saver. Set your email account so your first name is first and your last name is last, and avoid using initials. This allows people to quickly find you when typing in your name. There are several companies and individuals I communicate with where their names are reversed. It's aggravating because when I send them an email, I have to start typing in their last name first for my email program to recognize this person. Number seven, design an email address that identifies you. A good one will include your first and last name. This will make it easier for people to identify you by your email address and find your email address in their address books. Number eight, keep your signature files small. People will see your signature file, whether it's big and bold or small and subtle. Number nine, don't change your email address. If you get a new email address, don't discontinue your old email account. Don't inconvenience your contacts by asking them to change your email address. Just start using the new one and people will slowly convert to using the new email address. I have 5 email addresses and they all come into one email box. Current functionality on most email programs offers this simple organizational tool. Number 10, include alternative contact information. Anticipate that there will be times when the recipient of your email would prefer to talk over the phone. Consider including your contact information in your signature file as an alternative way of reaching you. Number 11, always type something in the subject line. Show respect to your recipient by taking the time to summarize the subject of your email in a few short words. Neglecting this simple task may create a negative impression. People may even delay opening your message. Number 12, update the subject line as necessary. When the thread of email correspondence has changed, which is normal and happens frequently, it's time to update the subject line. Number 13, keep your sentences short. Shorter sentences are easier to read and comprehend. Number 14, use punctuation. Punctuation has a purpose. It makes your message easier to read and understand. Number 15, use sentence case. Sentence case is the traditional use of capitalization and lowercase letters. By now, most people know that using all capital letters is akin to shouting. By the same token, using only all lowercase letters sends a message that you don't care enough to hit the shift key when it's needed. Both extremes are difficult to read. Number 16. Write short paragraphs. Short paragraphs will be easier to read and will improve the likelihood of them being read. Try to keep them from exceeding 3 sentences and always leave a blank line or white space between your paragraphs. Number 17. Use proper names. People love to hear and see their names. Take an extra 2 seconds to type out a person's full name rather than just the initial. I have a friend by the name of Mark who said he is turned off when people don't put forth the effort to type the 3 more letters after the M. I also recommend including a greeting before their name, like hi or hey or good morning or something appropriate for that person. Number 18, covering multiple topics. If your email covers more than one topic, separate the topics using numbers or bullets. This allows you to logically convey your thoughts and make it easier for the reader to follow your topics and separately respond to each point. Your other option is to send separate emails for each topic or point that you want to cover. Number 19, type the email first. When typing an important email, type the message first and then add the person's name after you've proofed your message. This will keep you from sending the email prematurely. Number 20, verify the spelling of all names. It is imperative that you check and double-check the spelling of someone's name and their company name before hitting the send button. Nothing will offend somebody quicker than seeing their name misspelled. Number 21. Always put your name at the end of your emails. I can't tell you how many people send me emails with email addresses that don't identify themselves and don't include their name at the end of their email. You can't brand yourself much worse than that. Number 22. Proof your emails. Never send an email without proof in it at least once. If it's important, read it 2 or 3 times to make sure you are proud. Look for missing words and misspellings that aren't necessarily picked up by the spell check function, such as there as spelled T-H-E-R-E versus there spelled T-H-E-I-R. Obviously, there are a lot of cases just like this, and I find, believe it or not, that about 25% of the emails I proof have an error, so I proof all my emails at least once. Number 23. Avoid acronyms. Even though you believe the recipient will know what an acronym means, avoid using it. Acronyms can be misunderstood and can cause confusion. When in doubt, spell it out. Number 24, be clear and concise. Say what you need to say as clearly as you can say it, using the fewest number of words possible. No one likes long or confusing emails that they have to read more than once. Number 25, use discretion when you copy people in emails. Make sure you only copy people who need to be in the know. Number 26. Don't use text lingo. These are emails, not text messages. Spell things out. 27. Keep attachments to a minimum. Unless you're sending an attachment that is requested or expected, it is best to ask permission before sending any large files. When you do, be mindful of its size. Learn how to compress or zip your attachments so that your email does not take up unnecessary bandwidth. Number 28. Use the BCC column for multiple recipients. If you want to send an email to a large group of people, it's important to keep your email addresses private. To do that, put your name in the To field and put everyone else's in the BCC field, which is the Blind Carbon Copy field. This will keep your email clean. It also prevents someone from pressing the Reply All button and wasting everyone's time with a response that should only be directed to you. 29. Don't assume privacy. Email is not a confidential means of communication. Regardless of any disclaimers, it is not safe to assume that your email will not be read by someone other than the intended recipient. Number 30. Respond quickly to emails. If you don't return emails in a timely manner, you will run the risk of destroying your reputation, losing your friends' respect, and reducing your market value. Most people expect an email response within 24 hours. If you can't return your emails within 24 hours, make those times the exception and not the norm. Number 31, acknowledge emails. If you receive an email that you're not prepared to respond to for whatever reason, at least respond to the email by sending a short message acknowledging the email and indicating when you will respond. You don't want to leave people wondering if you received their message. Number 32, return confirmation emails. When you schedule a call or appointment with someone and they confirm the time with you, take an extra few seconds to return the email to say confirmed. People don't like wondering if the appointment is firm. Number 33, know when not to press the reply all key. If your response to an email is only directed to the person who sent the email, then don't press reply all. Respect the time of the other parties and don't make them read and delete your email. Number 34, provide a complete response. When you receive an email that asks multiple questions, be sure to address each subject or question asked. It frustrates people when they have to reply to your reply because you didn't take the time to care to provide a complete response. I often respond to each point individually by using a different color or numbering the items. In other cases, I respond in all caps to make it very easy to distinguish my response from their original email. Number 35. If you're going to take your time to read an email, respond at the same time. One of my time management tips is that anything you can do in less than 2 minutes, do it immediately. It will require more of your time to come back and read the email a second time before responding. Number 36, keep your email inbox clean. During blocks of time that I've allocated returning emails, I first scan my messages for anything appearing urgent. I then start with the oldest email and work my way through the list, reading and responding to each email in the sequence in which it was received. This keeps me from overlooking messages and allows me to keep my email inbox clean. Number 37, know when to pick up the phone. If there is something upsetting you, pick up the phone and call the other person. Don't send emotional emails that scar the relationship and cause you regret. Emails are like words carved in stone. You cannot retract them. If you are at all upset or aggravated, a good guideline is to wait until the next day before sending your message. When you read it the next morning, you'll have gained a more balanced perspective. And I can also tell you there have been times where I've said, you know what, they need to know how I feel, and I want to press the send button, but don't do it. Hold off. You'll be glad you did. Number 38, don't limit your communication to email. Email is a great way to efficiently communicate, but don't rely on it exclusively. Set a goal to talk to people at least once out of every 10 email exchanges. Relationships are best built in person, second by phone, and third by the written word. Take full advantage of the first two if you want your relationships to grow. Number 39, use the recipient's time zone. When you're scheduling an appointment or a phone call, avoid confusion by using their time zone. This will keep them from trying to convert your time to their time zone, and it will reduce potential misunderstandings. Number 40, know when to schedule a call. If your email is going to be long or complicated, just send a short email requesting a time to talk. Number 41, be careful what you forward. Everything you forward is a reflection of your personal brand. Don't forward things unless you believe it will provide value, make someone smile, or enrich their lives. Number 42, tell recipients why you're forwarding it. When you forward an article, email, or blog post, take an extra 15 seconds to explain why you are forwarding it. Don't make the reader guess your intent. Number 43, never forward hoaxes. If it claims free or easy money, warnings of any kind, or contains the phrase, "If you care about X, tell your friends and forward it to them," it's a hoax. Aside from being annoying, forwarding hoaxes sends the message that you're vulnerable. Number 44, use the out-of-office reply. Learn how to use the out-of-office reply feature. It lets people know when they can expect a response from you if you're not available to answer email. Be sure to set it so that the message gets sent only once to each unique sender. Number 45, never recall a message. Contrary to popular belief, the recall feature does not prevent your original email from being sent. Sending a recall message only draws attention to your mistake. If a correction needs to be made, send a second email or call. Number 46, don't use an email authentication program. I sent an email to a lawyer I was looking to hire requesting an appointment. I received one of those validation requests so that my email would be forwarded to him. I deleted the email and found it a new attorney. I don't know about you, but I don't complete those forms, not for anyone. Number 47, do not abuse the high importance designation. Save your priority or high importance flags for truly urgent matters. Overusing may send an undesirable message that your needs are greater than those of your recipients. Also keep in mind that many people do not pay attention to this designation. If I'm sending an urgent email, I will type urgent in caps in the subject line along with the subject of my email. Number 48, turn off or down your spam filters. Some email providers allow you to turn off the spam filtering process entirely, and others give you an opportunity to lower the sensitivity level. I would rather take an extra second to delete a spam message rather than miss an important email that ends up in my spam or junk mail folder. This also saves me time from having to check my spam folders. Number 49, dealing with spam. Don't complain about it. Just remove it. This is 2010. We all get tons of spam. Changing your email address is not the answer. So, do you have any email tips that I've not included in this podcast? If so, please take your time and share them below this post at littlethingsmatter.com. I'd love to continue to expand this list over time. And remember, the sum total of all the impressions you have on people forms your brand and influences every part of your life.